The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you're lost, survivor, and you're feeling down, David Bloomberg will turn it around. He'll break down the rules and he'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. This is why Blank lost. Ooh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Hello, and welcome back to our weekly discussion about why each player was voted out of Survivor. I'm David Bloomberg, and joining me is a woman who also received something at Tribal Council that was definitely not an advantage, Jessica Lewis.
That is very true. Hello, David Bloomberg. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to be talking about Alan this week, so let's see how this all plays out.
Yeah. Well, I've already been able to talk about Alan twice this week,
but I know.
Made sure not to divulge any information.
No, you have to be careful with that.
That's right. But before we get to any of that, we didn't get much right in our predictions this week. For this week, since there wasn't a whole lot to go on. But one thing I'm going to say is, you know, as I suspected, and I think you probably agreed, the odd one out was being chased as the swing vote rather than being targeted, though I bet we'll get into some discussion later about whether or not that was the right move.
That is true. And I do have to add, though, that I was very excited watching the episode because things looked really bad for Desi. And I was wondering how much, you know, your heart was pounding watching it, because I was thinking, oh, David must be dying right now, because I was close. She was in the running. Yeah. So I was pretty excited that maybe I was going to sneak this one through and I was actually going to be right about my premonition, but apparently I wasn't.
Yeah, you planted a seed in my mind when you predicted that, and it was just growing throughout this episode. I mean, if anyone was watching my live tweets, you saw that. I was going crazy.
All I wanted to do was get to write, David's head just exploded. Yeah. That's all I wanted to get to write, but I couldn't.
Yeah, well, good, because I was watching and I was certain she was going to get voted out. Adam and Rob both mentioned it on Know It Alls, because Adam was sitting next to me and he was watching me sweat and eat my hands. I mean, the thing is, it's funny because if you saw the video, you saw the motions he made. But if you just listened to the podcast version, you know, when Rob said to him, what was David doing? And Adam said he was doing this. And what he did was he put his like hands over his face and his head. And yeah, that's what I was doing. I was going crazy.
I figured you would have been. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would have been so much fun, not for Desi, but for myself to then talk about it this time. But when it does happen, I'll get to talk about it.
That's right. And it would not have been fun for me.
I know. So anyway, I digress.
Yeah. So luckily, instead of Desi, it was Alan. And I say luckily, even though, you know, he was one of my guys, he was a University of Illinois guy. And so in his honor, I wore a pair of my University of Illinois socks in Reno on Thursday.
Oh, very nice.
So when I was there, you know, I was there for Run It Up Reno and had a ton of fun with Rob, Tyson, Steven, Adam, Taryn, and a number of other rappers. So, you know, already mentioned, I was on for that last couple minutes of Know It Alls. And then again, during the recap podcast, what's funny is Tyson recorded his part of the recap podcast while he was playing in two poker tournaments, one by himself and one as a partner. So he could leave and play the other one. And then his partner was continuing. Mm. And so I mentioned that I was also recording while my partner was in the tournament. Well, I got back out after I was done recording. So I go back to the poker room and it turned out that Tyson's partner knocked out my partner.
Oh, no. That's rather funny, though.
Yeah, well, it wasn't that funny, but yeah.
No,
it was,
but still fun. Fun to talk about. So you didn't come back with a bunch of money and you didn't beat all those winners and take all their millions. That's too bad.
No, no. I did play in another tournament and made it to what's called a min cash. I barely made it to the money, but hey, any money is good money.
That is true. Any money is good money.
But anyway, getting back to the episode itself, you know, after it ended, the questions immediately began when it came to Alan. You know, whenever something like this happens, we get a lot on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And even at the end of Know It Alls, Big Brother Canada 5 winner Kevin said, well, what did Alan do wrong to get voted out? And of course, I wasn't going to answer it then.
Right.
But then even Josh Wigler wrote in his Hollywood Reporter article that Alan was knocked out of the game thanks to a series of external forces beyond his control. Now, it would certainly be true to say some of those forces contributed, though I would say the disadvantage really didn't because of Joe's idol.
Exactly.
But I can't agree that it was all outside his control.
No, I can't either. I actually was going into this prep for why Alan lost. It was a much different approach, I think, because of what had happened. Circumstances were much different because obviously someone played an idol. But looking back at Alan's game, he wasn't necessarily in a great place in the game and the way that he was playing the game. And he was actually my pick at one point. I think one of us, didn't you pick Alan at some point that you thought maybe Alan would be going home? I don't know. But at some point, Alan was on our radar, someone that might be going home. So I don't think that it was necessarily just a bunch of things that, you know, outside forces that ended up making this happen. I think Alan contributed it to his demise in some way.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, Alan told Mike Bloom that he was playing the game his way, not for anybody to critique him or tell him what he should or shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have bad news, Alan. That's our job.
That's what we're... Get ready, Alan, because it's coming.
So now that we've had some time to think about it, let's figure out why Alan lost. Once again, before we start discussing the rules, I do want to remind people that anyone who would like to read all of them and the entire compendium, you can do so at robhasawebsite.com/survivor rules. With that said, we will start off, as always, with the first rule, which says to scheme and plot. So how do you think Alan did here?
Well, I think he was definitely scheming and plotting, but he was doing it in almost a fixated kind of way, where he would fixate himself on a particular person like he did with JP and Ashley. And then he fixated himself on Joe, and everything that he was doing in his game was almost centered around those fixations. And so it wasn't a great way to scheme and plot for a number of reasons. And I think we'll get into a lot of that in the second rule, but he had a plan. I don't know if he executed it well, but I think it was the word that just kept coming back to me was fixation. Like he just had a fixation on a particular thing and he couldn't really get away from that, which I think we're also going to talk about that too. So yes, there was scheming and plotting, but it wasn't the right way to go about his game plan, especially with what he was coming into the game with.
Okay. Now that's interesting. And I like your talk about fixation, which like you said, we will get to. I think we have to remember that Alan told Josh, you know, pregame that he was going in with a plan to frame people. And I think that that must have still been on his mind when the game started, because he told Mike Bloom that he purposely went a bit over the top in calling Ashley and JP a power couple, wanting to make sure the rest of the tribe saw what was going on there. And he even said that he specifically brought it up at tribal council so that they had to sit there and address it and they couldn't walk away from it.
Right.
You know, so they were either going to make themselves look guilty or Alan would look crazy. And Alan thought there were benefits, you know, in the long run, as far as his relationships with Ben and Chrissy.
Mm-hmm. Well, but the thing that I noticed, though, and I don't know if maybe this is just great editing, but every time Alan would talk about his game plan and what he was doing, like if we go back to JP and Ashley, and he was so impressed with himself and how he handled the situation. But then every other person who was on his tribe that then had a confessional talked about how they had no idea what was going on with Alan. I mean, it's just very interesting to look at, you know, that the responses that people had about Alan. You know, Alan is a crazy man, is what JP ended up saying. Alan is tripping. They called him a liability down the road. And, you know, there was off the hinges was another response to things that he said. And even Ben was like, there's no more core four. The whole thing is shot. And Chrissy was planning on lying to Ashley and Alan. So it was almost like everything that he was trying to do by following that strategy was blowing up with the people he wanted to play the game with, because it wasn't working with Ben and Chrissy. They weren't loving the approach that he was taking to the game. And so in Alan's mind, he was scheming and plotting the way that he wanted to, but it wasn't working for his game the way that I think he wanted it to.
Yeah, I agree. I do think it's interesting that, you know, we heard from Josh, who was there at that first tribal council, that when Jeff Probst was questioning JP, JP didn't really answer. Like, he got questioned 12 times or something like that, and JP never really answered, which if I were sitting there, I'd be like, okay, this guy is guilty of something, you know, if he's refusing to answer. But so that just shows how over the top Alan must have been that they sided with JP. Now, as it turns out, they never really had to side with anyone because they never went back to tribal council as that group. So we're really talking about this more hypothetically at this point. If they had gone back to tribal council, then we would have known for certain whether or not Alan's plan worked.
Right. Go ahead.
Well, we're guessing it didn't.
Yes. And I think what ended up happening to Alan was he thought that that strategy was working on the Heroes tribe. He thought that, okay, he actually said that he got what he wanted. The plan worked and he created suspicion and he was getting the results that he wanted to get. So he thought it had worked, but what we saw, based on what everyone said, it wasn't working. So then when he moved on and had a new group of people with him on the new blue tribe, I don't remember all of their names. So I'm just going to call them blue.
Yeah, the tribe name. Yes.
Yes. But he carried on that same strategy. And that was what we saw him doing with Joe, and that same type of approach where it was very in your face and I'm going to tell you like it is and kind of cause chaos, if you will. But it wasn't working before and he didn't realize it. And it, I don't think, was going to work for him again.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that there are parts on this new tribe that he did a decent enough job, even if that was just working with Ashley, you know, working past what they had done. Now, also, he told Rob that he thought he did a good job of convincing Desi that she was getting voted out instead of Joe. And apparently he did a good enough job of convincing me of that, too. and, you know, that would have been a great move if the disadvantage hadn't been in play and Joe had actually listened to Desi and played his idol for her. Mm-hmm. But that move was canceled in large part by Joe doing a great job of being able to read the look on Ashley and Alan's faces when he pulled out the idol.
Yes. And I do think that this is where Alan definitely should have reined it in a little bit. When you're dealing with someone like Joe and you see how emotional Joe is and he's somewhat explosive, and they've got the types of personalities that can truly butt heads, and we saw that happen, that Alan could have used that to his benefit as opposed to working against that. He could have, I think, tried to bring Desi in, but again, Joe has an idol. So all of this is, you know, we can talk about all of this until our face turns blue, but it doesn't change the fact that Joe has an idol. So it is an interesting thing to have seen kind of play out, because I do think that he and Joe pitting themselves against each other made for a much interesting you know, much more interesting tribal council. But then the idol was played. And so all of Alan's work would have been for naught.
Right. Right. Now, there is the question of what Alan did wrong in terms of this first rule. But I think that pretty much leads, from my perspective, to the third rule, which we'll get to in a moment. But you mentioned also having a lot in the second rule. So the second rule, of course, is the situation where people scheme and plot too much, or they fail to keep their scheming secret. So what did you see that Alan did wrong here?
Well, I think we have to go to the beach conversation between JP and Ashley and himself when JP ended up dropping his pants. You know, I mean, that scene is one where Alan is really taking it to an extreme level. And he said in a couple of his interviews that he didn't know that JP was going to actually do that, and that he had no idea that JP was going to pull his pants down. But I'm trying to figure out what he wanted JP to do, because he was very adamant about how he actually said to JP, how far are you willing to go to prove that? And he's like, let's go to the water. I don't know what he wanted to go into the water for other than to take their clothes off. I can't imagine. But and it even went further than that, where it wasn't just him like saying those things to him. When JP actually dropped his pants, I went back and I watched the scene again because I was very curious about this.
Oh, yeah, that's why you did it.
You
were curious.
I was curious. I'll explain. Because in his interview, when he said, I didn't know that JP, I wasn't expecting him to do that. I was like, I've got to see what his reaction was. And he actually says to JP, the idol in your pants, I'm tripping about. And then he looks down at JP's, I'm going to just say his junk. Like, he looked down at his junk. And that's when JP dropped his pants. And Alan actually told him, don't turn around. And he went down and, like, he investigated JP's junk. I swear, watch the scene again. And I was like, wait a second. That actually happened. So in my mind, you're scheming and plotting. That's great. You want to try to shine the light on somebody else and have someone else all the attention on that person. But that's like overboard. Like, that was a lot. So that's why I think, you know, the scheming and plotting wasn't secret at all. There's no secret there. So that's my two cents on that.
So I should add to the rule, inspecting another player's junk is scheming and plotting too much.
It's certainly not secretive, right? Yeah. I mean, not at all. Like, he just checked out my junk. I mean, come on. So, yeah, I thought that was a moment I think everybody, as you watched it as a viewer, was a little shocked with, because you don't see people react that way. You know, you don't see people drop their pants when someone's accusing them of having an idol. But it was like Alan wouldn't even let that. He wasn't okay with that response. Like, oh, okay, just dropped his pants and there's no idol there. He was going on to the inspection as well. So,
well, you know, to be fair, he is a football player, and so he's used to being around lots of naked guys. So, you know, it's not that awkward for him.
And I don't even think that it was he was being awkward about it. He was like adamant, this guy's got an idol. So he was like, I'm going to go. It was almost like a one-up moment. You know, it was like, all right, you're going to drop your pants. I want to one-up you now. You know, I don't know. But that
is
was
a Dr. Mike reference there. One-up. I don't know.
I'm telling you, a Dr. Mike would have been a great added component to that conversation right there. Dr. Mike could have certainly helped out.
Yeah. Oh, my. So
listen, you asked, so I explained.
That's true. That's not exactly the path I expected to be going down, but
it was necessary. It needed to be discussed.
Now, so what I will say is that even with all of that having happened, Ashley was still willing to work with him, even after all those accusations. Now, of course, she wasn't the one who was inspected, but, you know, I would say that she put that behind. And so whatever Alan did in that regard, it certainly could have come back to bite him. I don't think that it came back to bite him specifically for, you know, this particular vote.
And no, it, I don't.
Yeah. Right. So if anything, I think Ashley was the one who messed up because Desi saw her give Devin a hug.
Yes.
So hugging someone is definitely showing that, yeah, you're good with them, you know, yes. Even worse than a handshake. So after Desi saw that and passed the info on to Joe, well, then, you know, Joe knew Devin wasn't with them and made himself that target so he could use the idol.
Yes. And I do think that a lot of what we're discussing with Alan, I have to say that Ashley, I think, is the one who had a really big missed opportunity here. And I don't think that Ashley was willing to overlook the things that Alan had done. I think that Ashley was looking at the circumstances she was in, the situation that she was in, and saying, well, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And so she was willing to stay with Alan, even though she didn't really have to. And that's the thing that surprised me about Ashley, because she was so clear that she wanted Alan to go when they were still on, you know, the original Heroes tribe. You know, she was ready for Alan to go. She said that multiple times, that here was an opportunity for her. And she said during the episode, if there was one person that she didn't want to see with a blue buff in their hand, it was Alan. And there's Alan with a blue buff in her hand. So I don't know why she decided that she wanted to still play the game with Alan. I know Alan tried to make nice with her and said, all of that stuff's in the past. Let's get past it and beyond it, which is great for Alan to do. But I'm not sure why Ashley was so quick to forgive and still try to work with, because now she's in a really bad place, because she's got Devin, but that's who she has is Devin.
Right. And, you know, if anything, if Ashley ends up going out soon, then we'll address that then. But it does lead us directly to the third rule when it comes to Alan. And of course, the third rule is that players need to be flexible. Now, you know, I mentioned at the end of rule one that most of Alan's strategic problems are focused here. And once again, I have to point to the main theme of this rule, which is that you cannot just tie yourself to one alliance and hope that it survives.
Yes.
So that brings up the question of whether Alan should have abandoned the hero ship to turn on Ashley, much like you were just saying Ashley should have done with him. Mm-hmm. He told Mike Bloom that it would have been easy for him to do so, but he didn't know how he could show up at the next challenge with the rest of the heroes looking at him. How could he go back to Ben and Chrissy, who he wanted to work with? He thought that he had to stay solid for the good of his long-term game. And then he went further in his CBS interview, saying that there were definitely things he could have done to stay in the game, but that's not the kind of game he was trying to play. He said that Joe and Desi offered him many times to flip on Ashley, but he wouldn't do it. He said that doing so would have destroyed what they had as the hero tribe and also given Joe and Desi more power, and it would have shown negative things about his game, so it would have been bad for him in the long run. But the problem is, we've seen before that staying with your original tribe is just not always the right idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tyson mentioned it on the recap podcast this week, saying that whoever you're with, they need to feel like they're your number one now. And, you know, as I mentioned, I just spent a couple days with Adam, who definitely showed that to be the case in your season, because one thing he talked about was the close relationship he had with you, although it wasn't shown on TV.
I know. Still mad about that.
So, you know, I think this is all especially true given that Alan said in interviews that long term, he didn't want to work with Ashley and she didn't want to work with him. And, mm-hmm. and even going so far as telling Mike Bloom he didn't want to turn on the heroes. Okay, he said that, but then he later said he knew JP and Ashley wanted to get rid of him. So if you know that, okay, yeah, you want to work with the heroes, but really you're only talking about two of the remaining heroes.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Why not sacrifice her right off the bat? Go along with Joe's claim regarding getting rid of the weaker players. Go to Joe, go to Desi and say, hey, you're right. We should get rid of Ash.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that I kind of have to, you said a lot of things there. I have to revisit a couple of components of, but I do think that his long-term thinking when it came to Ben and Chrissy honestly, I don't think Ben and Chrissy would have looked at that vote. Like if Ashley had gone home, that suddenly in their minds, they're like, now we can't work with Alan because he got rid of Ashley. I think the game has evolved so much that people understand when it comes to a swap, crazy things can happen and you really kind of have to save yourself. And if they're more interested in their own game, they might look at that and understand, well, something happened. You know, who knows what happened, because we won't know until we actually have a chance to talk to Alan. But you have to be able to get down the road. And if in Alan's game, it's now done. His game is over. So there is no working with Ben and Chrissy because, well, his game's done. You know, he got voted out. So I don't think that tying yourself to those individuals. And if you look back at my season, it's a perfect example. We had three tribes, and every tribe, you know, after the swap, there was three tribes. And of those three tribes, each of those tribes went to tribal council, and each of those tribes voted out someone from the majority, because we had breakdowns with millennials and Gen Xers that were, you know, 3-2. 4-2 and 3-2. And on each of those tribes, someone who was in the majority ended up going home, because people understood that the old tribe alliances are not necessarily here anymore. Now it's a different type of game. So I think that, you know, was definitely something he shouldn't have been doing. But also, I don't know if you spent any time on Joe's Twitter.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Joe's very vocal on Twitter.
Yes, he is.
And one of the things that he did say was, Alan, stop lying. I never attempted to have you flip. All I needed was one night with the tyrant. And that is, so he, in Joe's defense of his game and in what, you know, defense of what Alan said, that was never even an option, that they never went to Alan and said, hey, you want to work with us? I don't know if it happened or not. Obviously, we're getting different versions of the story, but I thought that was an interesting tweet by Joe.
Yeah. And it went beyond that. I mean, he even said that he didn't want to work with Alan at all. And another thing he said, like you said, he called him a tyrant. In another tweet, he said everyone had to walk on eggshells around Alan. And he went so far as to say, wonder why he gets cut from all those teams.
Yeah, I saw that.
Wow. Whatever happened, they apparently do not like each other at all.
Yeah, it definitely seems very personal. And so who knows what actually did transpire, what we saw versus what we're being told now. Alan certainly doesn't seem to be harboring as much ill will, although he did say that he and Joe do not talk and they're not friendly. But it would be interesting to know what actually did happen. And maybe we'll hear from Desi if that conversation did actually occur between Alan and Joe and Desi. Because honestly, it would have been in Joe and Desi's benefit to keep Alan as far as strength is concerned. You know, I know we're going to talk about that, you know, vote out the weak and the strong and the weak and the strong, but you know, he's someone who's certainly very strong. So it's, I'm curious if that conversation did actually take place.
Well, hopefully Desi will tell us all about that during her winner interview.
Oh, that's right. She's your winner pick.
Yes.
How could have I forgotten? I'm telling you, I feel it. I don't think it's going to happen for you, but but you know, that's okay.
Right.
My winner pick doesn't seem to be getting a whole lot of screen time either, so I'm a little frustrated.
Yeah. Well, so, that could be good.
So. Who am I to talk? That's true. She could be on an arc. Who knows? What do they call that thing?
Yes, a story arc. Yeah.
Yes, that's it.
Getting back to, you know, for the moment, putting aside the feelings between them, which I'm pretty sure we'll get to here. I do want to say before anyone, you know, says, well, wait a minute here. How was Alan supposed to know that all of this was happening? And I agree, you know, that Alan would have needed some amount of omniscience to know everything that was going on. But things that he didn't know, he did not know. He could not know for sure 100% that Devin was actually with them. Mm-hmm. OK, Devin could have been lying to them and been with the healers.
Mm-hmm.
Second, he didn't know for sure that Ashley was with him, because like you said, it might have been smart for Ashley to switch sides there.
Mm-hmm.
So Alan should have been trying to be flexible. Instead, he was absolutely steadfast and hoping that everyone else was also in that same path. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Alan did have the opportunity, if he wanted to pull a big switch at tribal council once Devin's vote was canceled. He could have told Joe and Desi right there that he'd vote with them. This would have been especially smart because if Joe didn't have an idol and the healers had voted against Ashley like they claimed they were going to, it would have been a rock draw between Joe and Alan with a 50-50 shot of going home. So mm-hmm. why not just jump ship right there? But what Alan said, he told Rob that he's a loyal person and sure he could have made that switch. He was too far down the path of targeting Joe. And he had to keep it going and just make it a part of his game. And I think that's where it gets to their feelings, their opinions about each other. And also something he told Josh, which is that when he's locked onto something, he's locked in. Quote, sometimes that goes your way and makes you successful, and sometimes it ends in your demise. I was locked into getting rid of Joe. That was my view of it the entire time. Maybe if I saw things a little differently, things would have played out differently, but I definitely couldn't be on that tribe with him for too much longer.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets back to exactly what you were talking about with the feelings between them that led to, you know, going so far as to Joe with these tweets.
Mm-hmm.
And so unless you have anything else with the third rule, I think that actually leads us quite well into the fourth.
I think that's a great transition.
So the fourth rule is that you need to control your emotions. And that is something that Alan clearly did not do. There was obvious bad blood between him and Joe. And I just don't even know what to say about it to some point, because it was not shown that much on TV. I mean, we knew it was there, but not to the extent that we've seen. Alan said in many interviews, though, that one reason he wouldn't change his target was he couldn't spend another day at camp with Joe. So one of them had to go. And that goes back to what I said before, you know, that there could have been a rock draw with a 50-50 shot between Joe and Alan if everything had fallen into place the way, you know, they thought it would have. I think Alan would have been okay with that under the circumstances, because one of them wouldn't have been there anymore.
Right. Yeah. And I do think that the amount of times in his exit interviews that he called Joe annoying definitely is something that I think played into his desire to have Joe leave the game. He did say that, Joe wasn't real great in the challenge but it seemed to focus more on Joe was just annoying. Joe is annoying. Joe's got to go. I mean, it was very I kept reading this over and over and over again. And I get it. When you are with someone 24/7 on an island and there's not a whole heck of a lot of things out there to, distract you and take you away from that individual, because really, and he did say, I think in his, I think it was in his day after video, he was talking about how no matter what happens at camp, when you might be interacting with someone, almost having a blow up with someone, you then have to go into a challenge with that same person and work with that person. So, you know, you're forced to spend time with individuals that you might not otherwise want to be spending time with, but you also have to remember that you're playing this game. And that's where he should have, I think, reined in a little bit, especially in that like approach on the beach when he and Joe started talking, and Joe started it. I have to, you know, Joe was like, so are we going to talk about this with the tribal council? And, you know, are we just going to not say anything? But I think Alan went from 0 to 60 real quick in that conversation, and he might have been able to approach it differently if they wanted to talk and turn it into more of a conversation as opposed to a fight, because that's really where it all kind of, I think, escalated and everyone blew up a little bit and Desi got upset. You know, it turned into this whole thing that might have been avoided if he had just not responded so quickly with anger and frustration at Joe in that moment.
Yeah. And to me, what's very interesting about this is Allen said in his pregame stuff, he told Josh, well, you know, I've been on many football teams and players come and go, and I think I can get along with anyone because I'm used to that situation where you got to come in, spend time with them, be on the team. Then maybe they go, maybe they come. This is a situation where Joe came into his tribe and suddenly they couldn't get along. And then he's talking about how they had to go out and play a challenge together or something like that. That's exactly where I thought Allen would do the best.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, that's an area where he definitely did not do the best.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, another way that I think Allen's feelings about Joe affected his game was he told Rob how Joe surprised him because he didn't think Joe was capable of causing the chaos in order to get targeted with the idol. And they thought about voting for Desi instead, but Joe was getting on their nerves so much that they had to get him out. Now, usually when someone raises a ruckus and tries to put a target on themselves, it doesn't work. People go, oh, it's that crazy person, but that just means we can get them later. Let's get this other person first. Mm-hmm. I guess Joe is just really good at being a jerk if he wants to be.
Well, and it's quite possible, too, that for Allen, knowing that that was what Allen's strategy was that he wanted to put the target on people and wanted to make other people suspect, you know, like they were doing something they weren't supposed to be doing. Maybe Joe took that away from him because Joe was doing it himself. And so I don't know, maybe it frustrated Allen. I do think that it's interesting, though, that in Joe's pregame interview with Josh Wiggler, he did actually, when he was asked specifically about Allen, he said that he's had dreams about him for months now. He's been in my alliance forever, literally. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, he wanted to work with someone who was exactly like Allen, physically looked like Allen. That's who he wanted in his alliance. So I think it's really quite interesting that they ended up butting heads so much, considering that was what Allen walked into. Allen possibly could have found himself a really great person to work with, but clearly, emotionally, the two were not jiving.
Right, right. So beyond just not being able to be nice to Joe, obviously Allen had trouble doing it with JP and Ashley previously, but he had found some common ground with Ashley by the time of the swap. And, you know, then it was the two of them as the sole heroes in the new tribe. So he felt they had to stick together. Allen said in his day after video that socially it's much tougher than you would think. For example, you can't get mad at people if they can't do things as well as you. You have to recognize that they're looking at things differently. Everything you're doing, he said, socially, it ties into the game. The real you is going to come out in some way, shape, or form, and you have to adjust accordingly. You can't remove yourself from a situation with someone else just because you don't like them. Except that's pretty much exactly what happened between him and Joe. You know, he said that one of them had to go. They couldn't work together, and Allen clearly could not pretend to be nice, which was probably a key factor in the decision to target Allen instead of Ashley.
Yeah. Now, I know we talked about this previously, like the pregame component of all of this. And it sounded like, based on everyone's pregame thoughts on Allen, that he was killing it pregame, that he was doing great pregame. They had really phenomenal things to say about him. People were excited to work with him. They thought he was going to be very athletic, that he seems like a great guy to get along with. He seems hilarious. His ego would be a shield for me, so I would easily work with him. I like him more than I should. This is from Desi. I like him more than I should. I'm hoping for some type of an alliance with him. I mean, Christy said he's a kind soul. He lets the ladies go in front of him. Seems like the sweetest human ever. That's what Rourke says about him. So clearly pregame, he was the likable guy that people, and Joe said the same thing. Joe had dreams about him. Joe wanted to be in an alliance with him. So I feel like Allen walked into this game in a really great place. People wanted to work with Allen, and Allen walked into that game with his strategy being, I'm going to try to make people targets. And it clearly it didn't work out for him. So I think that, you know, the social game, he was doing a great job with it before the game started, not realizing that the game had already started.
Right, right. And once the game really did start, he wasn't doing as well at the social game.
No, he went like full force and with a vengeance really, really quickly. And I get it. Like, he's got a shtick. He's got something he wants to do. And it's not a bad strategy to try to make other people targets, but you got to reel it in a little bit. You know, it doesn't need to be so over the top.
Right. All right. So we move on to a slightly different aspect of things with Rule 6, which warns players against being too much of a threat. Now, Allen came into the game with the intent of not discussing his pro football career, in part to avoid being labeled as a threat. How do you think he did in that regard and overall here?
I don't think anyone was really perceiving him as too much of a threat. He did fine in challenges. He didn't do great in challenges. He was clearly someone that could be utilized for his physicality. But he did say in one of his interviews that he was too much of a threat to Joe. So I feel like Allen saw himself as a threat to other people. But I didn't really get the impression that he was seen outright as a threat to other people's games until he really started to, you know, go off the handle. So then maybe, yes, he then started to be not even a threat in the, I think in the regular sense of the word. I think he was a threat to others' people. He was a threat to other people's games. He was a threat to Ashley's game. He was a threat to JP's game. He was a threat to Joe's game by the way he was playing his game. So he was a different kind of threat.
Right. Now, what you were talking about where he had said that Joe considered him a threat, I think that came from that at some point he discussed with Joe that he had played college football in the Big Ten, which led to Joe saying he didn't want to compete with a Big Ten athlete.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, I think Allen had an easy out here. He should just pointed out he played for Illinois, and Joe might have thought about the recent team and not been so worried. But you know, he also discussed something with Desi because Desi saw a scar he had from shoulder surgery. So I'm not sure why Allen told Joe that he played football in college. Maybe it was part of that whole discussion with the shoulder surgery and everything.
Mm.
But however it happened, it did come up. And, you know, again, that's Allen saying that Joe said he didn't want to play with a Big Ten football player. However, that wasn't, of course, the only thing that made him seem more like a threat than Ashley, because he told Mike Bloom that it was clear Joe wanted to keep the weaker hero around because he wanted to control the tribe. And Allen was not only physically stronger, but clearly had a stronger personality as mm-hmm. well.
Yes. Yeah. And but it also, if you look at what Joe says pregame, that wasn't Joe's plan pregame either. Yeah, so I feel like everybody kind of you adjust as you go along, and you might change the approach that you had initially to how you were going to play the game. And so someone like Allen and Joe, they could have been a great duo, but other things got in the way. So, yeah, I mean, if that is where, you know, it now is now Joe is saying it is or Allen is saying it is that he was too much of a threat. He might very well have been perceived as a threat in addition to the fact that he was not getting along with Joe. It was like Joe looked at him and said, okay, he doesn't get along with me and he's probably going to beat me in all of the challenges. So he's got to go.
Right. Right. Moving to the seventh rule. I think we can go pretty quickly through this one because it talks about how to get and use idols and advantages. And while both were played during this final tribal council, sorry, not this final tribal council, his final tribal
That's
council.
That's true.
Allen, well, he had neither. So I don't see much of anything to say.
No, other than I don't think Joe ever was going to play that idol for Desi. She's going to throw that in there.
Yeah, I don't know. It is so hard to say because we did see him pause. We did see him say, you know, I can play this for myself or for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
We did see him look back at their faces, and we did see their faces drop as soon as he had pulled out the idol.
Right.
And it was like, okay, is that a good read? I think it was. I think Yeah,
if
as
it
I
was,
said earlier,
it's amazing. Like, I hope that that's exactly what happened, that Joe went up there basically like, I'm picking at Tribal Council. I'm going to figure it out at Tribal Council, because that'd be great. But just knowing how the gameplay, knowing how Joe's gameplay is, I don't know if he would have put himself out there like that for Desi. But if it was just based on a read, that's damn impressive. I'm impressed with that.
So, all right, moving into Appendix A. Well, we finally have an episode where the weak, strong aspect doesn't come into play in an obvious manner. But we have to remember that, you know, this appendix is still primarily about doing what's best for your game and keeping in mind your end goal. How do you think Joe and Desi did in that regard?
Oh, I think that their tribe is really broken right now. I really feel like it is so broken, because we've already seen in the upcoming preview that it's going to rocks. Like Ashley says, point blank, so it's going to rocks. So it's very interesting to see the dynamics of the tribe where they are now, because Desi is going to have to make a decision. Does she stay with Joe, someone who is clearly not getting along with two other members of the tribe? Or does she say, you know what, I've had enough of Joe. We know that he doesn't have an idol anymore. I'm jumping over and I'm going to start playing with Devin and Ashley. Because it's, I mean, you really are. You're so split down the middle now with, it's tribe of four. So it's going to come to rocks unless somebody has a moment where they see the light and realize it doesn't need to go to rocks if we work something else out.
Right. And, you know, we'll, I'm sure, get to that in the predictions part. But let me just say right now, the fact that it was shown in a preview makes me think they're not going to lose.
Oh, of course it's not going to happen, because that, you know, anything they show in the preview doesn't happen. But yes.
And you'd have to be crazy to go to rocks.
You know, you would have to be really crazy to go to rocks.
I'm sorry.
Sometimes going to rocks is the only option you have. And in that moment in my existence, that was all I had. That was the only option I had.
I know. But in this situation, I don't think it would be. But again, that's looking ahead.
Yes, and we're looking way ahead. But God, I hope someone goes to rocks, because how much fun will I have talking about that?
Yeah.
Be amazing. Anyway.
Now, you know, one thing that Rob brought up when I was on the recap podcast was the issue of players looking ahead more and more when considering whether they should vote out a weak or a strong opponent.
Mm-hmm.
So the person who used to be the typical merge boot might now be voted out two tribal councils ahead of the merge, just to make sure.
Yes.
And so he was discussing it in terms of whether Ben could be in danger. But do you, from the sound of it, I don't think you believe that that really applied to Alan here.
No, I don't think that. I think that Alan and Joe were, it was almost like a fight to the death situation with these two. It was like it wasn't going to be a comfortable atmosphere at camp with the two of them around. And I think that that's what it really boiled down to.
Yeah, I agree. I think that also, despite what we may have, you know, seen in the previews, Joe has to figure at the time that he had a better chance of working with Ashley going forward. So, I mean, considering what they said, he had a better chance of working with anyone going forward.
Yes.
As opposed to Alan.
Well, and the thing is, I know we're not really supposed to be talking about Joe, but I do think that this is worth mentioning. When you, obviously, I've never experienced it. I had someone play an idol for me and it was amazing. But to actually have an idol in your pocket, to walk into that tribal council, you must feel like you are just golden, because it doesn't matter what you say. And Joe was wanting people to vote for him. He was trying extra hard to make people angry with him, which is exactly what David tried to do at the tribal council where we went to rocks. He was trying to do the same thing. He wanted people to vote for him because he knew he had an idol in his pocket. He was trying to get them angry with him. And he was saying some things to incent people. Is it incent? Incise? I don't know if I'm saying the right word. But regardless, you know what I'm talking about. So
incentivize?
Yeah. I don't know. He was trying to get them worked up. I'll just say it that way. But so Joe had that plan going into it. And so I feel like in that moment, to know that you have the idol. I mean, for Joe, you probably feel like you could do anything because it doesn't matter. You're playing an idol. So it's got to be an interesting moment. And I think, you know, Joe really, he really played it up. He absolutely played it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all right. I also have to add, I'm sorry, I'm on a tangent here, but the whole thing with this advantage, I know this is not about Alan. Obviously the advantage didn't necessarily help Alan out, but isn't it interesting that when we have tribes of five, that this advantage is introduced and the producers, you know, Jeff and CBS say you can only use it in the next tribal council, because it's almost like they were forcing a rock draw, if you think about it.
Well, I don't think it automatically forces a rock draw.
Oh, it clearly doesn't. Right.
You know, if they had decided to play it on Joe, well, you know, or Desi, or really, actually, anyone but Devin. I guess what I'm saying is if they played on one of the sides instead of the middleman, then it would have had a different impact.
Right. But but if you think about it, everyone talks about who's the swing vote and who's the person that, you know, if this is a swing vote and that is going to be the deciding factor as to who goes home, is that swing vote. Canceling out the swing vote is a great idea, except then you're going to rocks, potentially.
If everybody is hard and fast with their original tribe.
Right.
So yet another reason to go back to, you know, what we talked about earlier about being flexible.
Right. It's just very interesting. I thought that was fascinating. I'm moving on. I'm sorry.
Well, there have been discussions on other podcasts, other of the Rahap content, about why they're putting in these one-time uses. And I do think it's because people had been saving them up.
Oh, yes.
To the point, you know, where Ceree was lost without a vote.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was the only available person that, you know, left.
Yeah.
And so I think that the producers want these things to be used,
mm-hmm,
to the point that they're basically forcing their use.
Oh, and I think that's great because I mean, the advantage I had, I couldn't use till day 36. So that was my marker. I was like, you know, day 36, here I come. And I wasn't using that advantage in any other way, shape, or form because that was going to be mine on day 36. So I get it. It makes sense. It absolutely makes sense. But I just thought it was interesting with the groups of five and what that could have turned it into.
Right. Exactly. So, all right. Before I sum up my conclusions, do you have any other final thoughts about Alan?
I think Alan, you know, I thought Alan was going to be an interesting player to watch progress through the game because of the pregame information we had about him and how different his approach to the game was going to be as opposed to what people thought he was going to be like. So I thought it was going to be an interesting person to watch, an interesting character to develop. And unfortunately for Alan, it didn't develop in the fashion that I think he wanted it to. So I think, you know, Alan was, I think he had a lot of spunk when he was on the show. He clearly went in with an idea and I think he was fun to watch. And he obviously, I think this is the first time ever someone dropped their pants for someone else during, you know, some idol accusations. So, you know, Jeff said he's the kind of person we'd ask back. So I think that tells you a lot about the type of individual we saw Alan develop into on the show.
I agree. And let's not go any more into the pants drop.
I apologize, so. David. I'm not trying to make you blush or anything.
No. So, all right. You know, at first, it looked like Alan was just caught in a bad situation out there when right after that episode aired, you know, that was the questions. How could he have avoided it? But I think we've seen that there were a number of things he could have done differently to stay. And he even admitted that he could have played differently. But Alan didn't feel like changing up his game because that wouldn't be true to his character. He was too busy worrying about what might happen going forward, and he didn't think about what was happening in the here and now, and perhaps that there might be no forward to go to if he didn't change up what he was doing. Relying on the swing vote is dangerous, even if you're pretty sure they're with you. Relying on the opposite side to not have an idol is also dangerous, especially if your behavior has made it clear who you dislike. All of this is especially true when your lone so-called ally from your original tribe is someone who you plan to vote off later and who you believe has the same thoughts about you. Alan needed to recognize that he was a target and take some strategic measures to counter it. but he and Joe were too much like oil and water for him to either buddy up to Joe or to recognize that Joe had the chops to purposely make himself a target for strategic reasons. And once we look at that full situation, we can see why Alan lost.
That was a great analysis.
Well, thank you. And you too.
Well, it is interesting because I find myself just kind of nodding along. like, yes, that's all. So excellent. I like it. That's very good.
All right. Now we can move into the predictions. And we've already had a little bit of a preview of our predictions. You know, Rob asked me on the recap podcast what I thought would have happened if the other two tribes had to vote last episode.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, and I had said that I thought Lauren or JP would have been voted out, which gives me a good place to start for the next episode because those tribes, well, they still have the same situations there.
Mm-hmm.
From the preview, in addition to what you saw, there's also what we see about Dr. Mike finding an idol. And Ben having some very emotional moments, perhaps due to nightmares from when he was a Marine. Now, that second part, I don't think will have any impact on the gameplay. I'm sure it will be a very important storytelling moment and very important to Ben, but I don't think it'll impact on the game. As far as Dr. Mike, well, Jessica is with him when he finds the idol, so I don't know if they were looking for it together. I'm guessing they were. And on Twitter, Jessica has already started talking about this, giving credit to Joe and Cole for the find. So I'm guessing that means she and Mike use the information Cole spread about how Cole helped Joe find his idol. What I just hope that doesn't mean she tells Cole about it because, okay, that's telling everybody about it.
Yes, that's just, he's going to show up at the next tribal council with a sign, Mike has an idol. Like, just telling everybody, like, I wanted to extend that olive branch over there too.
So other than that, we're once again stuck with an almost total lack of other strategic information. I was leaning towards Lauren again, but that would mean that Dr. Mike would probably have to lose a puzzle challenge, which doesn't seem very likely right now. So instead, I'm going to go the other direction. I'm going to say JP heads out of the game with an undoubtedly memorable, aka forgettable, pithy quote.
I actually agree with you on this one. And I'm going and I'm basing it on the fact that we haven't seen much of anything from JP, I think, in the last two episodes.
Really. I know. Alan saw a lot of JP.
Hey, you said we weren't going to talk about that anymore, and you just brought it up again. But yes, Alan did see a lot of JP. But yeah, we really aren't getting much from JP as far as a story is concerned. And also, everyone's read on JP seems very similar in that he doesn't really add much. Like, he goes fishing and he is like providing, but as far as like strategy is concerned and where the game is at, he doesn't seem to really be adding much of anything to the conversations that he's having. So I think that looking at the individuals that he's on a tribe with, we have four very strong personalities, and I'm throwing Rourke in there too because she's my girl. So I can say that I think JP is going to be in trouble as well.
Okay. Well, we will see. We keep focusing in on the same people here.
I know. But I was so close this past week.
No, you were not. You were not close at all. We were led down a false path.
Oh, I was excited. I was enjoying it very much.
And well, Adam was enjoying watching me sweat. So
I know. I'm so sad I missed it. That would have been so fun. That would have been so fun.
So do you have a hashtag for this episode?
Well, I should say we should have just picked yours last week because everybody seemed to love the hashtags that you came up with. Was that last week? Cocaine monkey?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So people loved the cocaine monkey. So I apologize for the red flags hashtag, but we don't have to pick mine. Cocaine monkey was really cool, too. But I came up with a funny one. Actually, while we were talking, you inspired me again. And my hashtag would be, I want to be like Mike. Do you get it?
I'm not sure I want to get that.
But come on, it's funny, right? You mentioned Dr. Mike, and that's just where my brain went. You know, Alan wants to be like Mike. That's my hashtag suggestion.
Oh, dear me.
You asked again. So there we are.
Or we could just be more blatant and do, junk inspection.
Oh, my gosh. I swear to God, I was going to do that one, too. I was thinking about any way that I could come up with hashtag junk inspector, you know, things like that.
There we go.
Yeah, I was there with you on that. So junk
inspector.
All right,
that's what we're going with. Hashtag junk inspector.
Perfect.
And of course, there's the hashtag for this podcast overall, which is hashtag YXLost. Everybody, make sure that you subscribe to all of the Rehab Survivor podcasts by going to robhasapodcast.com/survivor or finding it on your podcatcher. We are also on the reality TV Rehab Ups feed in both places. You can find tons of great content, even some that I wasn't on this week. But, you know, the know-it-alls, well, I was on that. And the recap episode, I was on that. But there are others. There's the Wiggle Room, the Rehab B&B, and much more. And, of course, people should check out the blogs at robhasawebsite.com/blog. Everybody should follow you, Jessica, on Twitter.
Yes, follow me on Twitter.
Yes, at JessicaLewis89. I am at David Bloomberg. I've mentioned before that I'm a lot more active on Twitter than Snapchat, but anyone who was following me on Snapchat, where I am at David Bloomberg, got to see some karaoke by Rob, Adam, and Taryn from Reno. And let me tell you, everyone loved it. Who knew how good singers and dancers these folks were? And I'm gonna say Adam was the winner of that
that
singing and dancing.
I'm
battle.
Telling you, Adam can put on a good show. I've seen it firsthand. He's done some karaoke in my presence and some dancing. So yes, props to Adam.
Did he do Uptown Funk for you?
No, he did not do that. But oh my word, that would be so much fun to watch.
Yes, and the karaoke was in a nightclub, so there was a big dance floor too. So there were tons of people out there dancing.
That's so much fun. I'm sure I would love to see that video, so I will have to look for that because that would be entertaining.
All right, so thanks again to Will from America for our theme song. And thanks to you once again, Jessica, for yet another great episode.
Well, thank you, David Bloomberg. It is fun as always.
All right. We will see everyone back here a week from now. Bye. If you love Survivor and you're feeling down, David Bloomberg will turn it around. He'll break down the rules and he'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. This is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.